In just a little bit, we'll take a moment or two and share some prayer requests with you and have prayer. But I've asked Tyler to come and do the Bible study tonight, and so he's going to come now. Pray for him and open up your heart so God may use his word. God bless you, Tyler.
Thank you, Pastor. Deuteronomy. I know you've been in the book of Genesis, so I try to get as close as we could there so you could find the book. Deuteronomy 28. I'm just joking. I know you know where Deuteronomy is. And Deuteronomy 28. Appreciate the opportunity to speak to you this evening and open up the Word of God. And the opportunity to do that is a privilege and a blessing. Deuteronomy 28. And we'll just look at a few verses here briefly. And then we'll find ourselves in the book of Philippians in the New Testament. But I want to just mention something to you here. I've entitled this, Highly Recommended. Highly Recommended. How many of you have ever had to get a recommendation for a job? Okay. If you have a job, you had to get recommendations for a job. You with me tonight? So let's try that again. How many of you had to get recommendations for a job? Just about every hand should be up. Now, how many of you have been on the other side of that and had to recommend someone else? Great. And I trust who you recommended you believed in. That's why you recommended them, right? And a high recommendation kind of takes it to a whole other level, doesn't it? That means somebody is kind of somebody you really feel that you know well, that you really believe in, and you value. And almost in this way, you would say, you would do well to hire them, and it's probably going to be the best thing you could do. They're going to be better for you and your company than maybe even the company could be for them, right? Because that's a valuable person. That's a great place to be. And getting recommended means you're going to speak well of somebody, right? There's really not a place for bad recommendations. When you're trying for somebody to get a job, you want to speak well about them. Now, you might have a hard time finding some things to speak well of, but there's always something to speak well of about everybody, and you can do that. And most likely, if they ask you to recommend, then they believe that you're going to speak well of them, right? And so highly recommended means high quality. It's an endorsement. Carries with it a strong implication that is worthy of considering or giving this person at least a try. They're going to benefit from them. You might even go to this degree, say, you can't go wrong with this person. And that's something. That'd be wonderful, wouldn't it? High praises are given for a high standard noticed in their life. Right? So you're going to say they're a hard worker, they're loyal, they're diligent, they're honest. That's a rare one these days we live in, isn't it? Trustworthy. On the list can go of really just attributes of that person. The things that you know. Maybe you worked with them before. So you're recommending them to another place because you've seen what they are like and what their work ethic is like. Highly recommended. Been thinking about this. I want to ask you this question. And I've had to ponder this question for my own self even, and the Lord's been working on my heart in this area. Could you or I be highly recommended based upon the joy we have in our life? Think about that for a moment. Could you or I be highly recommended based upon the joy that we have in our life? The joy that we have in our life. Does our life show the joy of Christ? I wonder tonight, I would say this, how important do you and I think this matter of joy is to God? Well, Deuteronomy 28 tells us, and this is something that I noticed, and I will say this, that it's become more important to me once I realize what Deuteronomy 28 says. So I hope you'll see it with me tonight. Deuteronomy 28, and I want you to notice a few verses before we get to the key verse here. Deuteronomy 28, verse 1, it says, "And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth." Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Notice verse 13, Deuteronomy 28, verse 13. "And the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail, and thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath. If thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day to observe and to do them." Verse 15. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. We just went from a way to have blessing to now curses. Notice verse 45. Moreover, all these curses shall come upon thee and shall pursue thee and overtake thee till thou be destroyed, because thou hearkest not to the voice of the Lord thy God to keep his commandments and his statutes which he commanded thee. And they shall be upon thee for a sign and for a wonder, and upon thy seed forever. Why? Why? Verse 47. Because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things. Did you see why? Why the curses? Why God is saying he's grieved? It grieves the heart of God. Why? Because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things. You know, one of the highest recommendations that we can be given for the gospel's sake and for Christ's sake is this matter of joy showing up in our lives. Joy is an amazing tool that God has in store for us that he wants to use to influence the world and for the sake of the gospel. I would say that there's no greater testimony than a joyful Christian. No greater testimony. You say, well, I thought we're supposed to be faithful. Well, if you're faithful, joy is going to show up to those who are faithful. And being faithful to God, then joy comes into play with being faithful. Martin Lloyd-Jones put it this way. He said, in a sense, a depressed Christian is a contradiction in terms and is a very poor recommendation for the gospel. I think we could all agree that a moaning, groaning, complaining, fussing, criticizing, griping Christian is not a good testimony for a Christian. Would you agree with that? And so, as Christians, we still find ourselves facing hard times. We heard a great message from preacher Sunday morning on this, and we still face difficulties. So how are we to have joy during those times? And you're reminded, as I'm reminded, of Philippians 4:4, right? Where it says, what does it say? Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Do you realize the context of Philippians? Would you turn there with me to Philippians 4, the context of Philippi? When I started looking into this, I almost in my mind thought, what audacity Paul has to write this. Because if you realize the context of the church of Philippi and what they were going through, it's a big deal what Paul is saying and how he's going about it. He's very careful, but he's dealing with Christians at the church of Philippi that are living out their faith in such a way that they are getting much grief to their life. They're in the midst of a Roman culture that's shunned, that's ridiculed, and even condemned Christianity. So to be a Christ follower meant you were a part of a hated minority. Get this, it means you were deemed stupid or expendable. Church of Philippi, this is the way the Roman culture looked at you as that way. Christians were used as a sport, but not a kind of sport that you want to be a part of. It was ugly, it was vile, it was wicked. It was a sport of persecuting Christians, martyring Christians by the thousands, imprisoning them, crucifying them, burning them alive, fed to wild beasts. And Paul has the audacity to write and say, rejoice. Are you with me? That seems contradictory, doesn't it? It seems as if, how could somebody tell those people that are going through it and they're in a difficult, one of the difficult times of their life, most difficult time of their life, to rejoice in the Lord? How often? Always. Let me say it again, and again I say rejoice. By the way, I need to be told again and again and again, because this is a matter that I have to find myself continually working on. And I would say I'm not the only one. I would sure think that you feel the same way at times. And so, look at Philippians 4, verse 1. He's telling the church of Philippi, this is why he speaks this way, because he realizes they're in need. He says, hey, church of Philippi, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord. Stand fast. Hang in there. Hold on to the Lord. Stand fast on Him. And by the way, what you're going through, just, hey, let it be known to God. Notice verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Verse 7, the peace of God. They needed to hear this. They needed to see some type of peace in this matter of hatred and death all around them, and it was after them as Christians. They were the minority. The peace of God which passeth all understanding. You know what passeth all understanding means? Just like that guy that's on the road that passes you and going flying by, he's going by. Passes understanding. The peace of God does. The peace of God is way surpasses, way greater. It's on down the road farther along than our understanding and our thoughts. Which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through who? Christ Jesus. Verse 8, they needed some things to think on. He wanted to encourage them to think on these things that are true, honest, pure, lovely, good report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. By the way, you think on those things, those are the things of Jesus Christ. He's every one of them. Verse 13, they needed to hear this, that they can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Verse 19, they needed to hear, but my God shall supply all your, what, need. They were in need. Just as we find ourselves in need. All according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. They needed that. They were in need. Paul here is giving them reason to rejoice. Because it's all about Jesus. Number one, this evening, highly recommended, you must realize you have the highest source for recommendation. I don't know about you, but I want to be very careful who I put on a list of who's going to recommend me. I want to believe in them and know that they believe in me. Right? So here's one you can believe in, the highest source, the greatest recommendation that can ever be gone to and relied upon all times. Never a time He's going to forsake us. Never a time to leave us. We can do all things through Him. And it's the highest source that is Jesus Christ. Think about it. A recommendation is the source of the recommendation. That's what a recommendation is. It's all about who's recommending. What a great thing if Jesus is the source. That's an incredible source, the greatest source we could ever have. Rejoice in who? Not in the circumstances, but rejoice in the Lord. Always. Rejoice in the Lord. He's the highest source we could ever ask for. Oftentimes we struggle with the matter of joy in our lives because we try to get in the way of the Lord, don't we? The Lord's not the problem. We often are. Deuteronomy 10:21 says, He is thy praise and He is thy God and hath done for thee great and terrible things which thine eyes have seen. Nehemiah 8:10, you're familiar with it, says, The joy of the Lord is your strength. One man said it this way, the secret is found in prayer, the power is found in the joy of the Lord. Joy is long-lasting while happiness is temporary. Think about it, joy is better than happiness. Joy is based on unshakable truth while happiness is based on circumstances. Joy is based on eternal home, happiness is based on a temporary location. Joy is a result of what Jesus has done while happiness is based on what I or others do or don't do. Joy comes through one source. His name is Jesus. And our God is a joyful God. And so Almighty God wants His joy to be our joy. You ever give thought to to what Jesus would say the night before his crucifixion. You know, Easter's coming up, and just to think on the things that Jesus did leading up to. You realize before his crucifixion, the night before his crucifixion, in John 15:11, he says this. He says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." John 10:10, Jesus says, "I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." More abundantly. Think of that. We have life, and we have it more abundantly. It reminds me of the series the pastor gave months and months ago of overflowing. More abundant. More abundant. More abundant means I have more. Abundant means plentiful, a large quantity, fully sufficient, overflowing, great. It's more than enough. My wife makes some mean cinnamon rolls. And the one I want is not the smallest one in the pan. Unfortunately, she made those over the weekend, and I had to fight for the biggest one. And I lost. And I gave in to my oldest son to let him have the biggest cinnamon roll, but now she'll make me another batch. But I want the one that looks the best and all better than all the others, and I'm going after the abundant one. The abundant one. So some more abundant things. Well, how does more abundance show up in our life? More joy is meant to show up in our singing. In our singing. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. It's hope for all of us, by the way. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. That means any of us can sing. Now, some of you don't take Psalms 98:6 literally in front of us here. Prefer that you do this in the shower at home. It says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth, and make a loud noise." Keep that to yourself, would you please? And rejoice and sing praise. You can save our hearing if you would. Do that to the Lord. He'll appreciate it a whole lot more if you do it to Him. But we're to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. And you know, when someone has joy, it's almost as if you can kind of get behind it a little bit more. Even if they're singing, even if they're speaking, you kind of believe it a little bit more. Because Jesus wants that to take place. More joy is meant to show up in our serving, isn't it? Serve the Lord with what? Gladness. That's Psalm 100, verse 2. Acts 20:24 says, "None of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy. And the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God." It's meant for all of our service, no matter where or when, all of our service. Service to the Lord. More joy shows up in our soul winning and in discipleship. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, not death. Tree of life. "And he that winneth souls is wise." Notice Philippians 4:1, it says, "Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved." How are they brethren? How are they dearly beloved? But notice what he says. He calls them his joy and crown. It's because they're saved. Somebody witnessed to them. Somebody, and it could have been, very well could have been Paul or someone else. But these brethren, they're beloved, they're joy and crown. He's saying, hey, stand fast in the Lord because they had the Lord. They received the Lord first. They had to get saved. By the way, if you don't have joy, there's a chance that you need to ask yourself whether you're saved or not. And that's a good place, that's the best place to start. And you can't have joy without being saved. And so you can have happiness, but you can't have joy. Shows up in our soul and discipleship joy because they received Jesus. You know, the world can't even get this joy that we're talking about. As hard as they try, they can't get it. Because you got to have Jesus to have this joy. And then joy is a byproduct of obedience in the life of a believer. More joy through our stewardship. This abundant joy, the life, the more abundant through our stewardship. Listen to these verses. They're very interesting. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 2 and 3. "How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality." Did you follow all that? Let me repeat. "How that in a great trial of affliction, while they're in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty, as they're in that, they abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves." Stewardship. I was thinking recently, of course, we came through Outdoorsman Night. And I would imagine the ones who enjoyed Outdoorsman Night just a little bit more are the ones who gave to it. And I was thinking about certain individuals that were sitting in the tables that they watched maybe that exact gift that they purchased. They went to the store. They used their money to get. And they took the effort to get that. And then they saw probably who that even went to. And a guest that received that. You know what? Most likely, they were able to have a little bit more joy than the person who wasn't able to give or didn't give or those kind of things because they had a part in it through their stewardship. John Ryle says, a cold heart and a stingy hand go together. And John Ryle said that. I didn't say that. Now, get this. John D. Rockefeller, of all people, said this, the poorest man I know is the one who has nothing but money. That's John D. Rockefeller. How many of you remember John D. Rockefeller? More joy through our reading and following of Scripture. This is where it's difference of a duty and delight to get into God's Word. So next, more joy through our reading and following of Scripture. Jeremiah 15, 16, listen to this. It says, thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. You know, the secret of Christian joy is to believe what God says in His Word and act upon it. Studying of the Word of God ought to bring us joy. It ought to turn enjoyable. It ought to be something we look forward to. It ought to be something we're doing. Faith that is based on the Word of God will produce joy to weather through the storms. But you need the Word of God to do that. You need joy, the power of joy, the secret of prayer. And secondly, if we're going to have a high recommendation, highly recommended, we're going to have to battle for it. We're going to have to battle for it because it is a fight. And there's a fight that we have to put forth. It's going to take work. It's going to take effort. It's going to take some thought and work to have joy. You know, anything worth having, it seems that it just takes work to have it, doesn't it? And that's just like joy. Joy is a plant that grows by putting the work into it. The farmer plants the seeds and does all he can to see the growth. But the farmer is part of the process, but ultimately the life of the seed comes from God. God allows it to happen. So how can we stay working to have a joy field in our lives? Well, you're going to have to think on the result of your salvation and how that brings joy to you. When you're having a bad day, not all of us wake up on the bright side and the right side either of the bed. And definitely not myself. Right, I don't wake up with just joyful heart and just ready to go. Here I go. And maybe some of you do. I'm glad for you. Tell us what your trick is. But here's the thing. This is something that we can remind ourselves and it'll change our heart. It'll make us rejoice. The result of our salvation. The God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. You know, a believer can lose his joy, but you cannot lose your salvation. You can lose the joy of it. Psalmist David said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, uphold me with thy free spirit. True salvation brings satisfaction in Christ. As a boy growing up, I enjoyed hearing the song, I'm satisfied, I'm satisfied. Said he'd be my comfort, said he'd be my guide. And then it goes, well, well. I don't know if you recognize the song, but I looked at my hands looked new, and I looked at my feet, and they did too. And ever since that wonderful day, my soul's been satisfied. And I'm satisfied with Jesus. That's who we're satisfied. But you know, you have to put up a fight against joy being lost and kind of falling by the wayside. And you got to plant in the field of joy. And so another way to do this is to realize that you're loved by God. You're loved by God. And that gives us reason to rejoice. Whom having not seen, ye love, and whom now ye see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Sylvia Martin in 1905 wrote these words. She wrote these words. She said, why should I feel discouraged? Why should the shadows come? Why should my heart be lonely and long for heaven and home when Jesus is my portion? My constant friend is He. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. And we have to remind ourselves of that and practice being joyful, don't we, sometimes? And that's okay as long as we do find ourselves rejoicing in our salvation, the result of it. Rejoicing. My name is written in the Lamb Book of Life. How about that one? That's something That's a great thing. That's a wonderful thing that we can rejoice about. Notwithstanding this, rejoice not, Luke 10:20, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. And you know, joy is one of the fruits of the Spirit. So that's just going to be evidence that I'm following after the Holy Spirit and that the Holy Spirit is working in my life. And so it's going to be a matter that the Holy Spirit is in my life and I'm living a spiritual life, and then joy is going to show up. I remember being in a youth group, and as I went on an activity, and I remember it was a local establishment, and the employees commented, and they said, "Man, it seems like you all get along. All this youth group gets along, and it seems like everybody's friends with each other. What's the difference?" You know what it was? It was joy. You know what it really was? It was the Holy Spirit working in the lives of those young people. That's a beautiful thing. That's what God looks at as highly recommended. Holy Spirit was being shown in the life of the believers. In a world of despair, joyful people are going to stand out. They're going to stand out. And there are going to be some weeds that try to creep into our field of joy, but we got to work on getting them out. So I want to give you some things, some recommendations that are going to try to take away from that recommendation being so good. First of all, bitterness. Bitterness is going to take away. Notice, bitterness, it's going to be one of the takeaways. And I mean, it's going to take away the high recommendation. It's going to take away the recommendation that you have for God. That's what we're talking about. For Jesus' name. If you're holding on to bitterness, then bitterness is going to get a greater grip on you. And it has a greater grip on you. And so you're not going to be able to really recommend God as well as God wants you to be recommending Him to this lost world. Suffering will try to overcome our joy. And we can avoid bitterness, but you cannot avoid suffering. But our response to it can be controlled. My brethren, count it all what? Joy when you fall into divers temptations. Persecutions are going to challenge it. Sin is definitely going to take away from your joy. Being away from God is going to take away from your joy. The times that we struggle with our joy the most are probably the times that we are farthest away from God. And it's a revealer. And you better take note, better notice, wait a second, this is taken away from a recommendation that I want of Jesus in my life. And I want to recommend Him well. Focusing on regrets, that's going to take away. If you focus on the past and the regrets of the past and you live in the past, it's going to be hard for you to have joy. You're not going to have joy. It's taken away from your joy. Taking away from that recommendation of God in your life. And then not being saved is the most important one. We mentioned that earlier. Because there are some thieves of joy. Notice in Philippians 3, we'll close with this, the last point this evening. Philippians 3 says, "Finally, my brethren," verse 1, "rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe." I like that word, safe. But it says for us to beware of some things. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. Beware of dogs. Dogs were like wolves in the Bible times. They were scavengers. They roamed around in packs, and many times they ate garbage. They focused on dead corpses. They are ready to annihilate anything in their path, and a dog can be dangerous. I imagine friend Dave here has probably faced some beware of dog signs and is very careful about, as a mailman, not maybe going into that fence, going past that fence with the beware of dog sign. Beware of dogs. Beware of dogs is to beware of something that could bring you danger, right? And so a dog is most dangerous when you are surprised by him. Now, if you're able to face that dog, and you're able to know that that dog is there, and you're calm and cool and collected, that dog picks up on that. That dog realizes that, oh, he's not, you know, worried about me, he's not afraid of me. But if they sense any fear, watch out. Or if they surprise you and you didn't know they're coming from back behind you, and here they are on your heels, they might be biting at your heels here pretty soon. So dogs are the ones who are willing to comfort and not warn with God about God's word and the word of God. Beware. Speak the truth. God's truth in love. I thought about this afternoon. I don't know if this is appropriate, but it's as if we need the barking given from the Bible. That sounds strange, but we do. We need conviction. We need the preaching of God's Word. I'm thankful for Sundays. I look forward to it. I'm thankful that we can open up the Word of God. I'm thankful that our name even says Open Bible. And I'm thankful the Bible is open and shared and expounded upon. But you got to be aware, and what you are not attentive to will get the best of you. And so, beware of not being aware. Can I say that? And this is safe, to be attentive. Beware of evil workers. Stay alert. Don't be fooled. When you're starting to lose your joy or things that are trying to take away from your joy, take notice of your own life, of your own soul spiritually, of where you're at. To say, wait a second, I need to start thinking about my salvation. I need to start thinking about how my name's written in the book of life. I need to start thinking about how God is with me and how He loves me and I'm loved by God. There needs to be some things that I need to bring back my joy into play. And I need to take notice and do something about it, right? Attrition in the Lord's work always follows a lack of attention to the Lord's work. You know, if a true thief is going to come in to your house, God forbid, but if you know about it, which most of the time you don't know about it, security alarm set, you're barring the door, you're getting your weapons ready, you're doing anything and everything to guard against it, to put on the full attack, do we do that with our joy when our joy is being lost? Because there's some thieves to our joy. We got to beware of them. The dogs is saying, hey, just pay attention to the fact of when the Word of God is seeming to not be as exciting to you anymore as what it was. You know, E.F. Hutton, he just said that he just spoke very quietly. Didn't really raise his voice. Just gave the Word of God. The people would come for miles and miles to hear him speak. Because the Word of God was being given in such a way that they desired it, they loved it, they anticipated it, they looked forward to it. Beware of evil workers. You say, what are evil workers? Well, they don't say they're evil workers. They don't ever say, I'm an evil worker. But their works reveal it. Their works reveal it. Just as if it says, workers, their works reveal their evil. And so they stir up trouble. They try to bring evil in, and they try to become critical. They destroy by cutting others down. They aren't doing it on purpose. They always say that. I'm not doing this on purpose, and this is a prayer request, and this is this, and this, this. And they always have reasons and excuses for it. But they can become evil workers because of their works. And it creates sin and trouble and problems. Maybe you heard this statement, where there is smoke, there's fire. Evil workers. Beware of the concision. The ones who are trying to draw Christians away from what the Word of God really teaches, the way it's meant to be. And so verse 3 is the way it's meant to be for us. For we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit, and rejoice in Christ. Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. None whatsoever. So I ask you tonight this question, the final question. Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Is it a command or is it a recommendation? I say it can be both. It's a command from God, and boy, it's a high recommendation of God if it shows in our life. And so that's highly recommended that we show our Savior and show the Savior that said even before He went to the cross, the joy He's going to endure. It's set before Him. And He says this before He goes the night of crucifixion. He says that they may have it more abundantly. More abundant. What is it? It's joy. And so this carries a testimony. No greater witness, no greater testimony than a Christian that has joy in their life and be full in it. I need to get excited about it and be more full in it like I did the cinnamon roll. Being honest. And so I'm asking God to work in my heart. Would you ask God to work in your heart? Can we pray? Lord God, I pray that we realize there's no greater testimony than a testimony of a Christian that is living a life full of joy. And Lord, there's times where that fullness seems to start to wane or start to get lower in our glass. And Lord, I pray that we would rise up in our joy. And Lord, bring us back so that we can have the joy of our salvation, so that we can be a testimony, so that we can highly recommend You. You are worthy of to many lost souls, and the harvest is plenteous and the labors are few. So Lord, I pray that we will do our part, and even this way, with joy in our life. May others see the joy and desire what we have and want ultimately the Jesus that we possess. I pray this will take place in Jesus' name. Amen.